Thank you very much. Nice to see everybody again. We're going to continue with the halachas of Maaser, and tonight's shiur is actually going to be very important and very halach l'maisa, completely halach l'maisa, and there's quite a bit to do, so let's try to move, because I'd love to get through all of it, and this will be our last discussion of Maaser. This will be the second and final section. Last week we saw, firstly, that Maaser is unique in that it's the only mitzvah in Kol HaTorah Kula that you're allowed to test Hashem in and demand to see the results of your mitzvahs. We saw three opinions, whether mitzvah of Maaser is midaraisa, midrabanan, or the way we paskin, it's only a minhag. Don't think that it's a minhag, thank you. Don't think it's a minhag that, like, it's my father's minhag, so I do it, it's not my father's minhag, I don't do it. Regardless of what your father does, it's a minhag, meaning Klal Yisrael has had this minhag. And therefore it is a highly recommended thing to do, but at the same time, we can't claim that you're obligated too, but nevertheless, it's a minhag from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, as we pointed out from the Pesukim last week. We also mentioned that since it's a minhag, a person should make a tenai, a stipulation, when they begin practicing the halal, when they start making money, when they find out that it's a minhag, they should make a tenai, a stipulation, that I am hereby going to try to do Maaser Kesafim, the li neder. Because if they do a minhag tov three times, or we saw the Mishnah Berurah pointed out, even one time with the intention of doing it consistently, that will bind them in a nether, which we don't want to be bound. Of course, we want to give maaser, but we don't want to be bound as a nether. We also pointed out, in terms of the people who are obligated, it's only somebody who has enough money to live themselves. If you can't pay your bills, you do not have to give maaser. Any of you who are students and are not earning money and need to rely on your parents for money, and you have a babysitting job or you have a part-time job, but it doesn't cover your costs, you probably do not have to pay Maaser. If you're taking out loans to live, then you definitely shouldn't be giving Maaser, because pay back your loans. If you're taking out loans to go to college, then there's something to discuss. Ask a rabbi. The Chazon Ish and Rav Shechter both suggest that when you find yourself not in a position now to give, you should try to keep a record of what you make, what you owe, so that God willing, when you become very rich, my bracha to all of you is that you should all become very rich, so that you could fulfill all the halachas of Maaser, l'chatchila, and you'll pay off that money when you have extra money around in the future, because you have a little bit of a list. And finally, from last week, we saw that the calculations for Maaser are calculations after all your, not life expenses, but business expenses. After you take out your taxes, your babysitting, transportation, equipment, you could separate whatever's left after that. That's considered your earnings, and from that you'll separate Maaser. I just want to add one thing that I didn't say last week, a beautiful idea why that is so. If you make money, so give Maaser on it. Why should you take out your expenses? So one of the Achronim, the Chavos Yoyer, says a beautiful idea that comes up in a lot of different areas, because if I have a partner, I have a business partner, if one of us, let's say I have to go somewhere for the business, so when we split up our profits, we'll certainly take into account compensating me for whatever money I laid out, because otherwise it's not a fair partnership. Well, if that's how we do it in a partnership between me and you, well, when I go to work and I'm giving Maaser, I'm actually in a business partnership with whom? With HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has a 10% vested interest, kivyachol, in our partnership, and whatever, however, I interact with my business partner, I interact with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kivyachol, in the same way, and this explains numerous halachos in Maaser Ksaf, which we're not going to go into, but however I treat a partner, that's how I'll treat Maaser Ksaf, because Hashem is my partner. What that does is, by the way, that elevates all of my working, if I'm careful about Maaser Kesafim. It's not just, I'll try, if I really am going to do it carefully, then it ends up being that all of my work, going to work, getting up in the morning, going to graduate school, going to work for 8 or 9, 10 hours a day as an accountant, a lawyer, a doctor, whatever profession I might have, that all is a partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that all, in a certain sense, elevated to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that 10% that is his share in your employment. I think that's a very important idea to keep in mind, that could really let us appreciate what we do even if the positions that we hold might not be the most inherently meaningful for us, but I think this could. Another important thing, that when you get your tax statements that you might be sending to your accountant or doing now, you'll notice that on your tax W-2 forms, W-9 forms, whatever forms you have, W-4s, you will see deductions, let's say for your health insurance, maybe putting away money in a pension plan, Social Security, Medicaid, those are all deductions that are coming off your employment. So what about those? Could those be deductions for Meister just like they are deductions for taxes? The Yesod is, whatever money you're getting now, you have to give Meister on. Whatever money you're not getting now, even if it's put away for you, your Social Security, you'll cash in, God willing, in 40, 50 years. Your pension, you'll cash in when you retire in 30, 40 years, depending on who's listening to the shiur, 5 years, whatever, or you have already, whatever the situation is, when you get that money, then you'll take Meister on it. If it's just being deducted from your check right now, you don't have to pay taxes on it. So if I earn 100,000, 20 go to the state and the government, and the federal government, so I'm left with 80. Let's see, another 5 are going to myself, but in the form of Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security, pension. All of those things make it as though I am only earning now 75,000, so I only have to give $7,500 to tzedakah, not 8. However, there are some deductions that you'll find on your W-4 forms that represent benefits that you're getting right now. Namely, the two that came to mind is health insurance. Health insurance, they take off. The IRS is nice and doesn't make you pay taxes on what you're paying for health insurance. But you are getting a benefit right now. The fact that they're taking it off and not charging you tax, that's very nice of Uncle Sam. But you are getting a benefit right now for it. So therefore, let's say they take off $5,000 from my earnings to cover my health insurance. Well, you know what? Those $5,000 you're getting not as cash, but as a present that they're giving you, as cash that they're putting aside into your health insurance, that is liable for Meister. Another thing I know for myself, I have a parking spot here at YU. So they take off every month $100 so that I can get my parking. So that parking, which is a living cost, I can't say it's a business cost because it's where I live. So that $100 that I make, let's say $1,200 over the year, is a benefit that I am receiving right now. So even though the IRS is nice and letting me take it as a deduction from my income taxes, but since I have to pay this and I do receive the benefit right now, I will have to give $120 of Meister to cover that $1,200 that I am earning, even though taxes I'm not chayav. We did point out last week, this is all review except for that point and the other points we said earlier. One more point from last week, if a person sees that if they do give Meister, they won't have enough to live properly, then they should follow the lenient opinion that does allow giving Meister after your cost of living, your expenses for living. But otherwise, we try to be machmen, only give Meister after all of my expenses for living for my family. Okay, that was all last week. That was review with one or two additions. Now let's start the new stuff. When do I give Meister? Meaning, is there a fiscal year? There's a fiscal year when it comes to corporations. There's a tax year when it comes to personal taxes, even though you pay it on April 15th, but the tax year itself is really January 1st till December 31st. Well, how often do you calculate your Meister? Is it every month? Is it whenever you get a paycheck? Is it over the year? What happens if you make money 1 month for your business and you lose money the next month? Does it counterbalance one another? The halacha is, there's no clear, definitive time span that is given by certainly the Gemara nor the Rishonim. The Achronim suggest for some possibilities, maybe do it twice a year, maybe once a year. The most common opinions are basically do it either when it's most convenient for you. I'll tell you what I think is most convenient in a minute. Or some suggest, and this later Rishonim suggest, maybe do it at Rosh Hashanah. Why does it make sense to do it on Rosh Hashanah? Why specifically on Rosh Hashanah is that a good time to do your Meiser accounting?
An extra
zechus. An extra zechus, I hear that. But even if you don't actually give the money then, at least do your accounting based on that fiscal year, of Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Any ideas? Well, when is, a little different than what you said, when is our finances for the year set? The Gemara tells us, Kol mizonotav shel adam, ketzuvin lo mirosh Hashanah ad Rosh Hashanah. All of a man's mizonot, their expenses, their finances, their accumulation of wealth, is set from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. So if you want to make sure that, you know, hinging on what you said, Atar, if you want to make sure that you're set up well for this year, so make sure that you're in a good partnership with a good partner. I happen to think that the easiest way, especially the way our finances work in terms of having to pay taxes and your employers, and those of you who are employed by corporations or schools, probably have end of year summaries. Instead of you each month figuring out how much you made and adding up all these dollars and cents and deductions, take the year-end tax form. I think the easiest is to just do the same year as the tax year, January 1st until December 31st. At the end of the year, around February time, you'll get a statement from your employer that will state, you earned this amount. We took off over the year. We took off this amount for Social Security, this amount for Medicaid, all that stuff I'm putter for. Parking and health, I'm high for that. And you can make your calculation based on one sheet of paper that you get once a year. I think that makes life very, very, very easy. Of course, that doesn't mean that you should only give Meiser once a year, but in terms of figuring exact, you know basically around how much you're going to be earning after taxes. You might be off a little bit here, a little bit there. So the exact number you'll know at the end of the year. So, you know, pay up as you're going, if you're able to. But in terms of the raw numbers, I think the easiest way is to follow the tax year, which is, in America, December 31st. Let's say you have a corporation or a partnership and you and the IRS work out you have your own fiscal year. Every corporation is entitled to decide when their fiscal year is over. Any accountants here? So if you speak to any accountants and you ask them, is this busy time now? We're 2 weeks before April 15th. It depends what kind of accountant they are. If they're personal accountants, they're very busy now. If they're accountants for a company, their busy season is when? The few weeks or month or two before whatever that company's fiscal year closes. So if there's a Jewish corporation, a Jewish partnership, I would say it would make sense. They could choose their fiscal year. It probably makes sense for them to choose their fiscal year to make their accounting easier. One thing that all the posts can do say is whenever you want, pick whenever you want, but pick a date. Pick a date. Whether it's a monthly date, a bi-yearly date, a yearly date, which in my mind is the easiest. Once you pick a date, then anything you earn from that date a year ago, or whatever your span of calculation is, whatever you made or lost within that year, let's say I choose a year, 2010, that just passed. So anything that I earned in January but lost in February will offset each other. So if I earned $150 in January 2010, but I lost $100 in February 2010, how much do I have to give Meiser on? Well, I have to give Meiser only on the $50 that I am ending up with, because 150 minus 100 is 50. However, let's say I would be giving Meiser every month. During January, I made 150. How much Meiser do I have to give? 15. During February, I lost 100. How much Meiser do I have to give? Zero. But if you work out that way, if that happens every month, you'll end up losing more than if you did the whole year. So it could work out in different ways based on how you play with the numbers, but it is probably going to lower your Meiser liability. Not that we should look for ways out, but if we want to try to minimize our Meiser liability, it would be worthwhile to choose a larger amount of time, and a year is certainly a good time, or 6 months. What happens if your bubby loves when you visit, and she loves so much that you visit that she gives you a $100 bill on your way out? So do you have to give Meiser on a gift or only on money that you earn? What happens if, God forbid, after 120 years, bubby goes to the Olam HaEmes and leaves you $10,000, as she did to all of her other grandchildren. Do you have to give Meiser on that? The answer to both of those questions is yes, you do have to give Meiser for gifts and inheritances, but only if they're cash. If your bubby gives you a home-baked chocolate cake, you don't have to take it to the pawn shop, figure out how much a chocolate cake would cost. It would cost, let's say, $4.50, and give 45 cents to tzedakah. Although the Chazanish says you do. We don't follow the Chazanish. Rav Shechter told me that the Minhag is not like the Chazanish, who said that you have to evaluate tangible gifts that you get. No, we hold that only cash gifts are liable to give Meiser. Gift cards, that's a great question. We had somebody who plays sports with takes my son Friday afternoons and plays sports with him, you know, football, soccer and basketball and all kinds of things. And he wouldn't take money if we would give him money. So we figured we'd give him a gift card, which is basically giving money to somebody who wouldn't take money. I don't know. It's not talked about in the post, obviously, because it's so current. In my mind, it's cash. In my mind, it's cash. But I could be wrong, but I assume it is cash. Now, one thing that's important, let's say a person gets an inheritance of $250,000, okay, from an uncle, a parent, a grandparent, they inherit $250,000. So officially, what they should be doing is they should be giving $25,000 to tzedakah for Meiser for that inheritance. First of all, after they give that $25,000 to tzedakah for that year, the next year they have $225,000, they'll be earning interest in the bank on whatever interest is being earned. Now it's close to nothing. Sometimes it could be a lot. So you do have to give Meiser on interest. Let's say it's not an inheritance. Let's say I just earn money and little by little I accumulate a savings account that gets bigger and bigger. And every year I get an extra few hundred dollars, a few thousand dollars, only because of the interest that the banks or my money funds are giving me. That is earned money. And that earned money, even though I didn't go to work to earn it, it's money in the bank that earned the money, that is chayav in Meiser. Wedding gifts is a little bit more complex. Of course, we said that if you get a toaster oven for your wedding gift, you don't have to take it back to Bed Bath & Beyond and say, you know, how much did this toaster oven cost, then give 10% of that. The Chazanish would say, yes, we don't. But let's say you have cash wedding gifts. A person gets $10,000 for their wedding. Do they have to give Meiser? Well, theoretically, the answer is yes, just like any other gift. However, when it comes to people who are getting married, if they're still in school, if they're learning, and they're not yet self-sufficient, so we mentioned earlier that if you're not self-sufficient, you are not obligated in Meiser. Rav Shechter is fond of telling the story of the Mashgiach of our yeshiva, Rav Lessen Zatzal, from, I think he passed away 20, 30 years ago. I never met him. I've been here for about 20 years. So he passed away probably at least, let's say, 30 years ago or so. Rav Lessen used to always tell the yeshiva bacharim that they should not, two things. First of all, that the first year of marriage, they should not have guests. Time to focus on building a home. Secondly, he told them that they shouldn't be giving Meiser either. Why? Because maybe not giving Meiser will give them more opportunity to stay, to continue learning in yeshiva, and not having to rely on other people or leave yeshiva before they otherwise might be able to. And therefore, again, if you're both parties, or the party, the family, the newlywed couple is completely self-sufficient, not relying on loans, not relying on parents' help, not relying on other things, and it's not going to take away from their ability to long to learn in kol or something like that, and they're already financially independent, okay, then they should give Meiser on their wedding gifts. But if that's not the case, and they will still be dependent, they should not. There's no obligation to give Meiser. If you want, you could follow the Eitzah that the Chazon Ish and Shechter pointed out, that you could keep a record, and God willing, when you become rich, because of Rabbi Orlean's brachos, then you could remember those that money that you earned from your wedding and give Meiser on that. What happens if you are walking down the street and it's your lucky day and you just happen to find a $10 bill on the street? So do you have to give Meiser on that? Yes. Yes, just like for a gift, just like an inheritance, you do have to give Meiser on that. That's the end of the discussion in terms of what monies you have to give. Let's talk about how precise do you have to be. Now this could go in two directions. Some people like being imprecise because it's financially better for them. Some people don't mind giving a little bit extra because it makes their lives a lot easier. If I have to figure out exactly how much I earn and deduct all my babysitting, because I'm not chayav for the babysitting, and deduct my transportation expenses, and I have to remember when I did go to work and had those, I had that easy pass toll I didn't have, if I really want to do it properly, it's going to be a lot of work. That work might not be worth, I'd rather just give an extra $50 and cover an extra $500 of earning, or even an extra $100 to tzedakah, and cover an extra $1,000 of earnings, than actually sit down for 3, 4, 5 hours and calculate how much I owe. Believe it or not, there's a Shas HaTshuvas, Avkat Rocha, which the discussion who wrote it might be Rav Yosef Karo, might be the Shulchan Aruch himself in a Shas HaTshuvas Sefer, and some other Mefarshim do write that you have to be exact and precise, not more and not less than the Miser that you earn. The words he uses in the Avkas Rochel is that Meister has a sod. We're not just dealing with the nice mitzvah, there's Kabbalah happening here. The number 1/10 is a significant number, and you want to get whatever shefa is up in the Shemaya that you want to draw down onto yourself in the world based on your mitzvos, has to be precise. However, I saw some looks on people's faces, however, most poskim are lenient. Most poskim do not assume that you have to be precise, especially why? Especially, as we're going to see, it's going to be very important soon. Nowadays, Maaser, we assume, is only a minhag. So according to us, who assume it's a minhag, how can you tell me that I have to be so exact when anyway the whole thing is only a minhag? And therefore, we do paskin that you can estimate how much you earn, since anyway it's only a minhag. We'll see one way that you could sort of fulfill that opinion with a very creative stipulation. I could say something like, remember, your words could do a lot of things. Your words are very powerful. You could say, I'm giving $10 to tzedakah. Let's talk real numbers. Let's earn $100,000 a year, $20,000 to tax, unless it's $80,000, and who knows how many expenses and babysitting. I'll say, I'm going to give $7,500 to tzedakah this year. Whatever is meiser, let be going as meiser. The extra, I have no idea. $127.18, $419.42, whatever that extra is, let that be tzedakah, but not considered meiser. And if those are my words as I'm giving it, well, that's how these monies are legally defined. And I can't do that. So what do? I just had the best of both worlds. I had the ease of just giving whatever's easiest for me, and I had the mila of this chumrah of giving the exact amount of meiser of 1/10. So that's a t'nai. We'll talk about some other t'nais to help your to make life easier at the very end of this year. Thank you. There's a story. I don't know if it's about Meiser or not, but it's a beautiful story. It might have been about Meiser of a certain. This is a true story because I'll tell you there's an epilogue to the story also. I assume it happened sometime in the past 100 years or so in Eretz Yisrael, of course. Somebody knocks on a certain tzaddik's door and says, I'm marrying off my daughter, or somebody's pidyon shvuyim, we need money, and the person says, I really don't have any money, and the fellow goes on to the next house. Then a few minutes later, the one whose door was knocked on comes running and says, you know what, I found some money here, take this. And it's enough money to do the whole, make the whole wedding for the Asoma, the Almana, whatever the situation was, Pidyon Shvuyim. But I thought he said, you don't have any money. He says, I don't. But I figured that I could make Kiddush, you're allowed to make Kiddush on Challah if you don't have wine. So I figured that over the next 4 years, 6 years, if I add up all the amount of money that I would pay to buy wine for the next 6 years for Kiddush, then I won't make Kiddush on wine for the next 6 years. I'll make it on Challah, which is Mutter. And that quantity, that amount of money, I'll use to give you. And he made a cheshbon 6 years times 52 weeks. Each day, let's say, is $1 worth of wine. If you add that up, that's already a sizable amount of money. So that's how he got money. This story was told in public in some yeshiva. And a boy who's listening came over to whoever was telling the story and says, oh, now I know why my grandfather always made Kiddush for those years on challah. And then all of a sudden he switched back to wine. He was the grandson of that person, and so that was a real story. So can I do that with my Meister? Can I say, forget about Kiddush or Havdalah, can I say there's a need right now? There's somebody who really, really needs money. Every once in a while you meet somebody, you know they really need money. Right? We just had this little recession that hopefully we'll be coming out of. And you know, there's a family in your neighborhood that has a mortgage payment coming up and they haven't been at work and you know that they need $3,000 by Tuesday. And you know it's true. You know it's genuine. You want to provide it for them. But you didn't just earn $30,000 yesterday. Over the year, maybe you'll earn $30,000. So could I say, I'm going to give $3,000 right now to help my neighbor with their mortgage payment, and then that will sort of be a prepayment of my Meister, and I won't have to pay Meister for the next 10 months, my $300 a month Meister. Let's say every month I earn $3,000. So for 10 months, that would be $300 a month of Meister, which will equal $3,000, which my neighbor needs for their next mortgage payment, which they cannot make. So can I prepay my Meister? I'll pay $3,000 now, and for the next 9 months, I won't pay a penny. Can I do that? The halacha is that yes, you can do that. You can prepay your Meister. Sometimes you have the opposite. We should all have the opposite. Let's say you're so generous with your Meister money that you realize you weren't so much on top of the accounting as the year was unfolding. You realize that you overpaid Meister. You know, there's just a lot of envelopes came in the mail, a lot of people asked you, so you just gave and gave and gave, and after a few months you realized that you've given more than you should have for the past few months. You know what? We're lenient there also, and we'll credit you for money that, if you overpaid, you can credit yourself for money that, let's say it's January 31st. And I should be giving, let's say, $1,000 on January 1st, because let's say I earn $100,000. So I should be giving $10,000 on January 31st, but I already paid $13,000 over the month. So the next month, I don't have to give whatever I paid extra. Okay. What happens with the following story? This is very appropriate for us. But I'll tell you a true story that happened, I assume, in South Africa, because this story is written by Moshe Sternbuch, who, besides living in Yerushalayim, is the Rav of South Africa, right? Of Bezna, South Africa. So in his Chuvis, say, for Chuvis and Hagas, he was asked by, you can only have this with South Africans because they're better, you know, they're higher quality people. A 70-year-old Baal Tshuva came to Moshe Sternbuch and said, I just calculated that I owe $200,000 in back Meiser Ksafet. That means over the course of his lifetime, past 50 years, he earned $2 million. And therefore, he owes $200,000. One little problem, and these are real numbers I'm giving you, he only has $30,000 in the bank. And the question continues, if halacha so requires, I am prepared to give all of my savings to Meiser, if that's what halacha demands. Is that what halacha demands? So the first thing that Moshe Sternbuch writes is Ashrei ha'am she'ovdim kach ribonam. How beautiful is it that there are Jews who ask questions like that? That's just an incredible thing to hear such a shaila. What's the answer? Does he? Let's say it wouldn't be so dramatic. Let's say he had $5 million in his bank account. Let's say he's rolling in, he has royalties and pensions and money's rolling in. He has plenty of money. Does he have to give his back Meiser? Or let's say more realistically, let's say you've been working for 2 years as an occupational therapist, and all of a sudden you come to Rabbi Rollins and you realize you should start giving Meiser. So you say, of course, please, now that I'm going to start, I'm going to try. But I didn't give Meiser last year, and last year I earned, let's say, $40,000, and after whatever, I'm left with, I should be paying $3,000. So do I have to pay the $3,000 for last year, a year ago? The halacha is no. Why not? Because again, we mentioned before that giving Meiser is not an obligation. Giving Meiser is not a chiyuv that you have to fulfill. It's a highly recommended, suggested, minhag tov that you should do. But if it's a minhag tov that you should do, well, if you never accept it upon yourself, nothing made you owe that money. So therefore, only when you start accepting upon yourself, that's when you become obligated, And therefore, any back money that you didn't pay before you accepted upon yourself, you are not obligated to pay those back monies. Now, this is a fabulous kula I'm going to tell you right now. And it depends on what your field of work is. Let's say, anyone here a speech pathologist? Anyone here an OT? Anyone here a psychologist? Anyone here a teacher who could tutor? Okay, so we covered most of you. Could you offer your services for free? And if normally you make, as a speech pathologist, $50 an hour, $100 an hour, give free services to somebody who can't afford speech services, and count that as though you gave that $50 or $100 to Meiser. That's a very lucrative way to give Meiser. Well, before we get to that, let's start one step earlier. Do I only have to give Meiser in cash, or could I give goods? For example, food. You know, there's a poor family. Instead of giving them cash, can I go to the store, buy a supermarket bag full of all the necessary things they need for Shabbos, put it at their doorstep? Well, of course you could give food for, if I buy them some clothing for their children, a pair of shoes, of course that works as Meiser. Why? Well, there's a rule in halacha that shaveh kesef, things that have value, are kikesef, are just like money. So too, says the Maharil Diskin, you can pay your Meiser obligation not only in cash, not only in cash equivalent, but even with your services. That means that if you provide your services, you're a lawyer, you provide legal services for somebody who can't afford it, otherwise known as pro bono work, you do your psychological work for somebody who can't afford to pay a psychologist, or whatever other things, services you provide, you can count that as giving Meiser based on whatever the going rates that you normally charge for your services are. However, one important caveat, that is, that only works if before you offered your services, or before you provided your services, you had kavana that what? That what I'm about to do is to pay Meiser. If it happens to be that you're a nice person, and you counseled, or you did your, some free therapy for somebody 3 weeks ago because they couldn't afford it, you know what that means? If you didn't have any special kavana, that this is specifically for Meiser, that means you're a nice person. Nice people do nice things, even if they don't get paid for it. Some people are nice. We even could be nice once in a while. So if we had kavana before we actually provided those services, then of course we could deduct that from our Meiser. But if we didn't have that kavana, all it means is that we were nice people. We did chesed. Beautiful. We should continue doing chesed. Chesed is a wonderful thing, even if it doesn't reduce your Meiser liability. Now, that's the first tip of the shiur. That's about how to give Meiser, who has to give Meiser, and you're just in time for the second half, which is, where do you give your Meiser to? Who do you give the Meiser to? Could I give my Meiser to the shul? Could I buy svarim with my Meiser? Could I support the mikvah, the community mikvah, or the erev with my Meiser? Could I pay my son's tuition with the Meiser? That's going to be the biggest question. Now we're going to leave for the very end. Let's start from the very beginning of what Meiser is all about. Medrash Tanchuma, we mentioned the source for giving Meiser is on a pasuk, Aser ta'aser et kol tuas zarecha. And on that word, Aser ta'aser, Chazal note the double language, and they say you should give tzedakah, Aser, give Meiser, b'shvil shetit asher, so you become wealthy. Putting that aside, continues the Medrash Tanchuma. Aser b'shvil shetit asher, give Meiser so that you could become wealthy. Listen to these words carefully. Remez l'mefarshe hayam. This is a remez to people who do business, in the old days who go out on the seas. L'hafrish, to separate echad me'eser, one-tenth l'omle Torah. The primary purpose of Meiser is to support people who are learning Torah. Now, you could call me a right-wing fanatic, but it makes a lot of sense. What is Meiser Ksafim patterned after? Meiser. Who do we give Meiser to? Let me rephrase the question. Why do we give Meiser, when we had the Beis HaMidrash, we gave Meiser to Levi. Why do we give him Meiser? Well, what didn't he get? More than a salary. He didn't get, Shevet Levi didn't get Nachla in Eretz Yisrael. Now, why was Hashem so mean that he didn't give Nachla to Shevet Levi? Because what is Shevet Levi's job? To be teaching Torah and paskening and ruling and learning and teaching all of Klal Yisrael throughout the entire Eretz Yisrael. That's what Chazal say. That's why they didn't get a Nachla. So what did, how are they, they're going to die, they're going to starve. It's not fair. How can Hashem do that without giving them a Nachla? In an agrarian society, of course. So what did Hashem set up? He set up something called, that we call, school tax. Any of you live outside of New York City? In Muncie, in New Jersey? So when you buy a house in Muncie or New Jersey, you'll notice that you pay $10,000 a year on taxes. But that's not really true. Really, you only pay about $4,000 a year on taxes. In Great Neck, it's the worst. In Great Neck, you pay $15,000 on taxes. $1,000 is for tax, and $14,000 taxes on your house is for the school district, so that you could support the public schools in your school zone, school region. There's a word for it. School district, thank you. You know what? That idea is very ancient. In fact, it's 3,500 years old. Hashem gave the Torah and said, we need to have rebbeim and we need to have schools. So we have to put in a tax. We're not going to tax houses. We're going to tax people based on their income. How are we going to do it? With 10% miser of all the food that you grow in your backyard, all the apples and the wheat that you grow in your field, you'll give 10% to support the schools, to support those people who are teaching Torah and being rabbanim and being melamdim and being... excuse me, all the people who are being omel b'Torah. That's what the Torah said. Well, that's what Meiser is. If that's what Meiser, and we come and do our, well, it's not Daraisa, maybe not even Darabana, but whatever we have of Meiser Ksafim, that is patterned after the mitzvah of Meiser, and the whole point of Meiser is to support learning of Torah, omel b'Torah. And therefore, all the poskim from head to toe say that the ideal Meiser Ksafim is to provide money to poor people who are learning Torah. All the poskim, all stripes, that is the bottom line and the undisputed ideal way to give your maaser money. That's ideal. However, some of us might want to give to other places in addition to, even if it's not as ideal, maybe there are other things that touch my heart that I want to also be involved with, other needs in the community. Can I use my maaser for those things? Well, there's one rule that we have to know when we talk about giving Meiser, and that is that anything that you have to give anyway doesn't count for your Meiser obligations. For example, Matanas Levyonim, you have to give. So you know what? You can't count Matanas Levyonim for Meiser money. Shul dues, shul membership dues. Membership dues, if a person is part of a community, they should pay membership dues. You cannot count membership dues as part of your Meiser because that's an obligation on you. Let's say there's some, the community has, every family has to give $100 to support the Erev. Every year, that's what each family's obligation is in the community. That's an obligation. You want to be in our community, that's an obligation. Not just we invite you, we suggest, it's a suggested name. Everyone has to, you know what? That $100 can't come from your Meister money. I have to have an Esrog, I have to have a Talis, I have to have Tefillin. These are all things that I must do, and therefore, I can't pay up my Meister obligation with things that are obligatory to me anyway. Yes? Yeah, we'll get into that right now. So anything that you have to do, anything that there's a chiv to do, you can't use Meiser money for. There's a story that I told here in the shul when I spoke at one of my drushes during Brashas, when we were talking about the avos, about Meiser. So I told a very cute story. Some of you weren't there. So when I became the rabbi of the shul, the first week that I was here, going back to September, October, I decided I'd be nice and my wife and I would join as members. And what I do for myself, it helps me in my accounting, on the bottom of my checks, in the memo note, I write if something is Meiser or not. I just write Mem Ayin Sin Reish, so no one knows what that means, the bank doesn't know and doesn't care, but I know from my accounting, when I see the electronic digital image, I know that, oh, that money went to whatever, that's part of my Meiser Cheshba. It makes life easier for me. So on the bottom of my membership check, $50 per person, so I wrote Meiser. And then a few weeks later, I was preparing this little drasha, and again now, and I realized that membership dues do not count as Meiser. So that was one mistake that I found.
To pay them.
Well,
chose to pay them.
So you're right. A rabbi usually typically doesn't pay. So maybe I could have. Other people wouldn't have been able to. Other people who are part of a shul should be paying dues, so therefore they wouldn't be able to count membership as dues. The Rama in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tzedakah, Reish Memtes, writes the following. And this is going to touch what Karen mentioned. Ein la'asos mi'maiser shulah. You should not use your maiser money. Dvar mitzvah. Mitzvos. Maiser is not to do mitzvos. Kegon, listen to this. Neiros lebeis ha'knesses. Paying the utility bills for shul. Not for your maiser money. You shouldn't be giving shul expenses. Osha'ar dvar mitzvah. Or other mitzvos. Rak only yitnenu la'aniyah. Maiser is for poor people. That's what maiser is for. The other, however, there are achronim who say that if there's a mitzvah that you're not going to do anyway, if I don't count it for maaser, I'm not giving to the shul. I'm not going to help them with their utility bills. Membership I pay, I'm not going to help them with extra stuff. Or some other mitzvah I'm not going to do. I'm not going to support the mikvah or the Erev. In our community, we don't have a $100 mandatory Erev commitment per family. And I wouldn't support the community thing, this or that, if it wasn't for my opportunity that I could, you know, reduce my maaser liability thereby. If it doesn't help me out, I wouldn't do it. So then, the poskim say, I could use my maaser money. What I will say right now is the most important point that we will say tonight. Theoretically, maaser should only be for poor people, as the Rama says. However, the Chasam Sofer points out, and all the poskim concur, that if I, nowadays, again, since Maaser Ksav is only a minhag, I can make a t'nai, when I accept upon myself that I'm giving Maaser, I'm going to try to give Maaser, I make a t'nai, I make a stipulation, I say, I hereby accept upon myself, bli nether, to give Maaser, and since it's only because I stipulated it, well, I make up how I want to give it. And I could hereby say that I'm going to, yes, allow myself, yes, permit myself, that my Maaser can go for mitzvos, as well, and not just for tzedakah. What are examples of mitzvos? We'll see lots of them. We'll start supporting a mikveh. Again, aside from whatever usage fear, let's say there's a family obligation in the community, aside for that, supporting a mikveh is a mitzvah. If I made the t'nai, I could support the mikveh. The Erev. Let's say your brother makes a siyum on Maseches Megillah, and you want to make a seuda. Let's say, God willing, your chassam makes a siman shas, and you want to have a catered meal. That is Hashem by all of you very quickly. Okay. A chassam makes a siman shas, and you should make a catered meal. You know what? You could use that money to pay for that catered meal. It's a sudas mitzvah. You could use that for maaser money, if you made the t'nai. If you made the stipulation that I'm going to be able to, since I'm deciding how I give my maaser, I'm going to be able to use it for mitzvahs. I want to make a gemach. A gemach for wedding shtick, a gemach for people to borrow money, a gemach for if you live in places that have floods in the basement, dehumidifiers, or any other things like that. Whatever gemach you want to make, you could buy whatever materials you need for your gemach with maaser money if you made that tonight. What about giving to like a kiruv organization? It's not supporting poor people who are learning Torah. Supporting people who are learning Torah, maybe. They're not necessarily poor. It's not tzedakah. It's not tzedakah. We call it tzedakah. It's not tzedakah. It's mitzvah. You're being mefarshim same truth, emunah. That's a mitzvah. It's not tzedakah. Well, if I made my t'nai, then I could give my maos meiser for kiruv programs. What about the following? Your shul has a program that all the little kids come and learn, and any kid who learns for 25 minutes gets ice cream at the end of the program. Could you buy those ice creams? Could you pay for those ices and those tangy taffies? Halacha is that if you made the tanai, 100%. But now let's get a little bit more at home. Okay, we have a women's shiur here. Women are not obligated to learn Torah. Okay? But there's no question that it's highly significant that women should learn Torah to maintain their religious level and to grow in their religious level. Can somebody buy fudge bars like I see in front of me and pay that out of maaser money? Or can somebody sponsor the next sushi dinner that we'll have maybe next after Pesach and pay that with Maaser money? Well, Rav Nevin Sal, the Rav of the Yeratika, does write that for women's learning, well, even though they're pater from Talmud Torah, but to maintain your Shemayim, you could support women's learning with Maaser money, even though they're not poor. It's not tzedakah, but it's a mitzvah. And therefore, if you made it tonight, you made that stipulation, when you accepted upon yourself to give Maaser, you says, for mitzvahs also, you can support women's learning as well. What about buying Sfarim? This is a little complicated in the postgame. I don't want to get into it, but try to avoid buying Sfarim with your Maaser money. If you really need a Sefer that you're really going to use for real, and you wouldn't buy it otherwise because you can't afford it, and you're going to lend it out to people and make it very accessible for them, like leave it on the shelf in the shul, then you probably could. Other than that, it's better just, there are enough places to put your money instead of buying Sfarim. Listen to this kula. This is a kula, yes?
What about when you get solicitations in the mail and they send you something with it? So, like, let's say normally you wouldn't take it or you would send it back, but you would think, oh, maybe if I pay out of my Maaser, I can...
So I don't think the fact that they sent you a solicitation is any, or a book, or a gift, whatever they sent you, that's not in any way obligatory on you in any which way, nor does it will determine your Maaser. If you want to give them Maaser because you like the organization, then, depending on whatever these rules are, you'll either give or count as Maaser or not. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't understand what you were asking. Yeah, okay, let's talk about that. Ura. Okay, the Ura auction. Who doesn't love the Ura auction with Fivish? Everyone knows who the Fivish is? We all know Fivish. If you don't know Fivish, I'll put you on the mailing list. The Ura auction, in their brochures, they are 10 steps ahead of the game. It's actually run by Tzadik Gomer, Rav Chaim Mintz, who lives in Staten Island. Tzadik Gomer, and they use their money to send non-religious families, children to yeshivas, to buy them tefillin, sukkahs, dalet minim. It's a tremendous organization. Not necessarily to poor people. Well, a lot of times they are poor people. They do help people who can't pay tuition. Let's say it counts as Maaser money, okay? But if you donate $180, you get a $60 gift. Listen to the following. You really gave how much money to Maaser? You really gave $120. You gave $180, you got a $60 gift. So you gave $120 to Maaser. However, you would never spend $60 to buy that thing that you got as a free gift. If you did, you would have bought it without giving $180 to Tzedakah. How much would you have spent? You would have spent $30? Okay, so for you, the value of that thing is $30, and the $150 extra out of the $180 will be considered Maaser. Ura is so ahead of the game that if you look at their brochures, you'll see on the bottom of all the free gifts that you get, it says this has a value of, or this amount, this I don't think it says it costs us. This has a value of, you know, every gift that you see in that little flyer, it says this has a value of, you know, $60, $40, so you could take into consideration for your Maaser purposes, which is brilliant. So that's Ura. I want to tell you a fabulous kula, and if you came out tonight just to hear this, it was well worth it. Let's start with some history. The history goes back to the Maharil. Maharil is the father of Minhag Ashkenaz. And in Hilchas Purim, he says the following. You never find it because it's not in Hilchas Tzedakah. Hilchas Purim. On Erev Purim, the Minhag is to give Machatzit HaShekel. And they give Machatzit HaShekel in Shul. What do they do in the Maharil's time with that Machatzit HaShekel? Where do they use this money for? Well, in the olden days, it went for kavanos. We don't use it for kavanos nowadays. What did they use it for in the shul of the Maharil's shul in Ashkenaz? I'll tell you the words. L'sayeya, to aid, es ha'olim le'eretz hatzvi. Those who are going up to Eretz Hatzvi, to Eretz Yisrael, l'shem shamayim. They used the money. That was the cost of the Maharil's shul or community. The money that they raised for Machatzit HaShekel was to be used to help people, those who wanted to make the arduous trek to Eretz Yisrael, l'shem shamayim. That's what they use the Machatzit HaShekel. Well, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, let's say you want to go to Eretz Yisrael, but not to visit family, not to visit friends, not for a vacation, not to have a good time, l'shem shamayim. You want to go to a post-shel hevet summer program. You want to go to, you've just been very out of things, and you really need to pick me up. You're going to go back to your seminary, go speak to your bae, whatever it was, and you're going to go and get some inspiration back. That money, says Shlomo Zalman, can come from Meister money, which is fabulous. Again, you have to be honest with yourself. No one's going to check. Come on, get real. You know, Sukkos has to be Sukkos, not going to go, you know, as any other time. Okay, but if you're going, it doesn't say when you have to go. If you're going to the Sukkos, but your reason is for spiritual inspiration, it does. You can count that flight to Israel from your Meister money. However, not your hotel or food costs. Because your hotel food costs, you're going to have anywhere you live. Wherever you are, if you're renting an apartment, you have a food cost, you have a living space cost. So not your hotel food, but your flight itself, you can. As long as it's for L'shem Shamayim, not just for vacation, visiting friends, family. Okay. About 8 more minutes. What about Hatzalah? Magen David Avdom, Zaka. Not necessarily poor people, but it's a life-saving organization. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that you can count money to Hatzalah, and presumably the others are the same, from Meiser Ksafim. And so too, the poskim say they have some programs in Eretz Yisrael to prevent abortions. Just One Life, Efrat, you might be familiar with those organizations. Preventing abortions, also you can give money for Meiser money. It happens to be those organizations, you know, especially are usually to help. One of the main reasons why people have abortions in Eretz Yisrael is because they can't afford to carry. So certainly it's going to poor people also, so it's not even a shaila. We're talking about things that are not really to poor people. I mentioned before that paying for a kiddush in shul membership does not work on a kiddush also. For shul, that will not count for meiser. However, paying for the shul's expenses, if you made the tanai, will count. What about the American Cancer Society? American Cancer Research. So if you've had anybody 65 or older who ever lived in your apartment before you, you probably get their mail. I assume I'm not the only one here, especially living in this neighborhood. So can you give to American Cancer Research? So nothing wrong with it. It's a beautiful, it's nothing Jewish. It's very humanitarian. One might wonder if the Red Cross could also be, you know, similar thing. So there's a sefer, Orach Tzedakah, which a lot of what I said tonight comes from. He brings, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says that things like American Cancer or American Kidney Foundation or other things that try to find cures does count as Meiser, but it's not ideal to give your Meiser money to. So it's better to use your Meiser for a real tzedakah, but if for whatever reason you feel very attached, and I know certain people who had certain life experiences might feel specifically attached to such organizations, you can use Meiser money for that. Now, before we get to the final conclusion about some very, very practical etzas, let's talk about the biggest question, tuition. Tuition is the biggest question because if you're earning $100,000 and you have two or three kids in school, well, that's your Meiser right there without an extra penny. So does tuition count as Meiser? After all, I can send my kid to public school. It won't cost a penny. In fact, I'm spending so much in school tax money that I'm sponsoring half of the neighborhood kids to go to public school, so I could certainly benefit from that. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, and says probably the majority of the poskim, and this I will say very clearly, that when it becomes halacha maisa, you should ask your Rav what to do about this, and about all shailas. You'll be surprised, you know, we gave some general rules, but there might be specific things or permutations that you could ask Shilas about, and you'd be surprised what could count. None of you thought that going to Israel, buying an El Al ticket to go to Israel would be considered Meiser. Okay, now you know it could be. Based on a Maril, Minhag of Old Ashkenaz. For Moshe Feinstein, I'll give you because it's so important, I'll tell you the source, Chelik Beis of Yoredeya, Shaila Kuf Yud Gimel, 113, says that tuition cannot be from Meiser money. And so too I spoke to Rabbi Willig, and so too I spoke to Rabbi Schechter, and this is the many poskim hold it cannot be counted for my tuition does not count as meiser. Again, God willing, you ask your shayla when your time comes. Why not? But Moshe Feinstein has a very simple calculation to explain why. We mentioned earlier that what is something that you can never use with your meiser money? Money that you already owe. You have to do any mitzvah, X, Y, Z. You can't do something you have to do already with meiser money. You can't pay your parking ticket with tax money. You pay your parking ticket, and then you'll pay your taxes. You can't double dip those. So too, meiser money, you can't pay that which you're already obligated to. Well, you know what, my friends? The American government requires that every one of you go to school until you're in 12th grade. Okay, fine, but I could send my kids to public school, can't I? Well, the Torah says that you have to make sure your kids grow up religious. Well, if it's a boy, you have to teach him Torah. If it's a girl, you might not have to teach her Torah officially, but you have to make sure that she's going to be a Balas Emuna and Yirei Shemayim and a Shomeres Mitzvah. Basically, you're going to have to teach her Torah too. And send it to yeshiva. Not that people who didn't go to yeshiva can't, but if you want to ascertain, if you want to make sure as best as we can that our children will grow up religious, you have to send them to yeshiva. So, the law says they have to be in school. A public school is not an option for religious reasons. So it ends up I have to send my children to school by the combination of the legal law and the halacha. So, why could I pay tuition for meiser money? After all, this is something that I have to do. And that is how Rav Moshe concludes. And that's how most poskim, many poskim, I don't want to say most because there are people who don't, but most poskim do say that you cannot charge tuition to your meiser account. Both for boys' tuitions and girls' tuitions. However, let's say tuition at a given school is will be nice, $10,000. But we all know that it doesn't cost $10,000 to teach your kid. It costs $7,000. And what's the extra $3,000? The extra $3,000 is to help all those other families that aren't paying $10,000. To help those other families that are, let's say, paying $3,000, $4,000. But it costs $7,000 to educate every child. So you're paying an extra $3,000, so somebody else could pay $4,000. That extra money, Rav Schechter writes and Rav Yashiv writes, that's the scholarship component of your tuition payments to help poor people. I mean, people can pay all the things that they need to. It doesn't mean you're poor. It means that you can't pay all those tuition bills. That could count as meiser money. So halach l'maiser, if I'm paying $10,000 for my son, and it only costs $7,000 to educate him, the extra $3,000 is to educate, to subsidize those who can't pay it. So the $3,000 extra I can count for my meiser. The initial $7,000 I cannot count for my meiser. One big problem. There is no school in this country that will tell you how much it really costs to educate a child. They won't tell it to you. Because if they did, you know what you would do? You'd say, oh, okay, fine. Well, here's a check for that amount. And no more. So you could, you know, again, if we had, we're making, like we said, you know, half an hour ago, not to give exact nights, you could try to sort of figure out. Let me just finish. I want to finish, and then I'll take your questions after we finish, because I don't want to keep people. That's the last specific halacha. I want to now mention a number of stipulations that you could make to conclude some very, very practical etzos, halacha l'maisa, how we could make our tzedakah giving the halachically ideal way without getting ourselves into trouble. First of all, and you could say this as I say these words, because if you forget, you could be in trouble. Let's say it happens all the time. A guy comes into shul collecting tzedakah, and I take out a dollar from my pocket, and I'm waiting for him to come past my bench, and he goes out the door and leaves. What do I do with this dollar? I dedicate this dollar to tzedakah, maybe to that guy. Make a tanai. You could say this I'm happy to see all of your lips murmur as I speak. I hereby make a tanai that any money that I'm giving to tzedakah does not count as tzedakah until it actually reaches the hands of the ani. If it gets to his hands, that's tzedakah. If it never gets to his hands, even though I took it out of my wallet and I was holding it to him and I had all the intentions, that's not considered tzedakah. That's number one, a very important etza. Nothing to do with meiser, but an important halacha for tzedakah. Another thing, when you accept upon yourself to give meiser or tzedakah, always say, b'li neder, I hereby accept upon myself to give Maaser, Beli Neder. Another Tanai, to make life easier, is let's say you want to give tzedakah and things come up now and you want to be able to subtract this from what you're going to pay later. You could do it, but it's better to say right now, I hereby stipulate that if I give extra money now, it could be deducted from my future Maaser obligations. Fourth, also make a Tanai, this I mentioned earlier, you want to fulfill the opinion of the Avkat Rochel who says you have to give exactly one-tenth, not more, not less. So what Tanai are we going to say? I hereby stipulate that when I give my tzedakah, one-tenth of my earnings, the exact Maaser, should be considered Maaser, and anything additional shall not be halachically deemed as Maaser, but as tzedakah. Finally, the Tanai that I was talking about for the past 15 minutes, I make a Tanai that when I give my Maaser, I allow myself to give for mitzvos as well, not just to poor people. And I just want to end 2 points and a conclusion. First of all, ask Shilohs about everything, but especially about Hilchos Maaser. Secondly, if you want to make your lives easier, open up an account. It's free to open up a checking account linked to your regular account. Every month you get your paycheck and you get $2,742. So transfer 272, whatever the number was, and 4 cents to your Maaser account. It will make your cheshbon easier. It will make you feel so much easier to give the money because it's, oh, that account isn't mine anyway. So it will make your lives easier. You'll feel good about it. It's much easier to part with. I just want to conclude with a chazal. To conclude our Hilchos Maaser for this little, these two shir series, the Medrash Rabbah in Shmos Mem Aleph talks about the following scenario: two people enter a partnership. One of them supplies all the capital, the seeds, the land, the equipment, and one does the work. So how do you split the profits? Go 50-50 or whatever other number you work out. A silent partner and the guy who actually does the work, the managing partner. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eino Kein. That's not how Hashem does it. Ela kol ha'olam kulo shelo. Everything is his. Not only is everything his, but he does everything. Hu morid gishamim, hu morid talalim. He makes the dew come and the rain come. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Hashem to us, lo amarti lecha. I didn't tell you, shetitin li, I didn't ask you to give me, ela achas me'asara maestra. I only want you to give 10%. He's giving us a good deal. So may Hashem give us the koach to fulfill these mitzvahs and maestra properly. And to, of course, see the fulfillment of Aser, Bishvil, Shetit, Asher. If anyone has questions, you can ask me now.